Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And you're listening to the 880 Weekly Rewind, where we go deeper behind the headlines. Well, was New York State's response to the coronavirus pandemic good enough? New York State lawmakers grilled health officials this week as hearings into the state's COVID-19 response began. Front and center were questions about hospitals and nursing homes. State Senator Gustavo Rivera presided over 31 hours of the public hearings on residential homes and hospitals. I spoke to Rivera about what he heard from health officials, especially about the nursing homes that were so hard hit by COVID-19. And asked if the hearings would lead to solutions to avoid poor outcomes, these poor outcomes in the future.
First of all, at the core, these hearings were first about accountability. We need to make sure that we identify bad actors, whether that be the administration itself, or particular facilities that weren't doing the right thing. We need to identify them. But more importantly, we need to prevent same troubling outcomes in the future and avert unnecessary deaths. So as it relates to data, the concern that I sincerely have is that the data particularly related to the people who died in hospitals but came from nursing homes, those deaths in every other state are counted towards the total number of deaths that we have that are tied to nursing homes. The commissioner insisted that they are going to provide us with that information. And when pushed on the fact that maybe they changed the definition to make the administration look better, he kind of changed the subject and balked at that whole notion. I am sincerely concerned that we don't have accurate data. And the problem here is that without accurate data, we cannot make good policy. So we're going to continue to ask the questions. I know that we're going to issue a letter to the administration to ask them to respond in writing to a couple of the queries that my colleagues and myself did not feel were answered adequately. And he committed to providing that information. So hopefully they will do so, as soon as possible.
So the numbers that we do have available, it was more than 6,000 deaths due to COVID-19 in nursing homes in New York State. But that doesn't count nursing home residents who ended up passing away in a hospital. So it was the number of nursing home residents who might have been in a hospital when they died that is a number that we don't seem to know?
That is the problem. When you look at the percentage of deaths in other states, which includes the individuals who were discharged from nursing homes to hospitals to be treated in hospitals and tragically passed away when there, they count those numbers. They count those folks towards the nursing home where they originally were. That is the way that all these folks do it, and that corresponds to a percentage of the total deaths that is much, much larger than the state of New York. So it just does not seem, when we consider the fact that for all the victory laps that the governor has made, we are still the state that has the most deaths across the entire country, both in nursing homes and just total. That is nothing to take a victory lap about. And so that's why we need to insist that these numbers be provided and that they be accurate.
Yeah, and I think it's striking that when you called a hearing in order to get this information, the health commissioner didn't come with this information prepared.
That is correct, and we are concerned about it. But he, on the record and under oath, did commit to providing that information once he makes sure that it is accurate, and we will hold him to that.
So, what have you learned from the hearing so far that is leading to concrete solutions that you think could be put forward?
the first thing is that the bigger picture, we need to reimagine the way that healthcare is delivered in New York, particularly to most to the most vulnerable New Yorkers. It is a sad reality that there are, unfortunately, racial and socioeconomic disparities that are baked into the current healthcare system that is a profit-driven system that do not serve us well. I think that this crisis has demonstrated, above all, how we need to reimagine so much of what we do around most everything, housing, you know, taxation, education, et cetera. But as it relates to healthcare, this everything that we heard in those 31 hours of hearings just tells us that we need to reimagine the system to have people at its center and not profit at its center. And I certainly, you know, from my in my view, that means passing the New York Health Act, which is a bill that I sponsor in the Senate and is sponsored by my colleague Dick Gottfried in the Assembly, which would guarantee health care to every single New Yorker and would create a single-payer system in New York State.
You know, there was recently a pretty damning report in the New York Times that said New York State spent millions, tens of millions of dollars on emergency field and pop-up hospitals that ended up treating very few patients. Is that something that the state legislature will investigate?
Well, I will tell you, as somebody, I will tell you that there is, in the moment of crisis, when the crisis was at its peak, we were under the assumption that we would, in the worst case scenario, need hundreds of thousands of beds available to us from all the potential cases. So at least in my view, some of the actions that were taken to secure overflow capacity was warranted. I will tell you that it does concern me a bit that some of that overflow capacity was built in places that probably is not going that we're not going to need it, particularly in Manhattan, when it was places like Queens or my home borough of the Bronx, where most of the deaths and the hospitalizations actually happened. But besides the issue of geography and then being close to places where we're going to require potentially that overcapacity, I do not fault the administration for creating the overflow that would have potentially been necessary if we did not manage to nip it in the bud and flatten the curve, which, again, we did, and there were actions from the administration that helped us do that. I just feel that patting ourselves on the back for acting eventually when we need to figure out why we did not act earlier is the big issue here.
So in your assessment, was the state response to COVID-19, to the pandemic, was it a good response?
It was certainly better than the federal government. There's no question about that. I think that there is at least a recognition eventually from the state and the city that we needed to act, you know, aggressively. But I do not think that we acted early enough. I do not think that we shut down the state or that we paused the state as early as we needed to. I do not think that we closed the schools as early as we needed to. I do not think that, you know, there's so much that has to do with the failed response at the federal level, since this is something that obviously impacts the entire country and states by themselves cannot alone be able to do this. So there's no question that the federal government failed miserably. I think in the case of the state, we eventually started to get it right. We did not act quickly enough to avert the unnecessary deaths that we had.
State Senator Gustavo Rivera, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Linda.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.